Okay, this is now our third week in Hebrews chapter 11. And if you read your weekly newsletter on Friday, then you would have seen in there an explanation from Richard as to why we're spending these few weeks in Hebrews. And if you didn't get that and you'd like to talk to me afterwards, I'm sure I could arrange for you to have a printout of that. And in the previous 2 weeks, Richard and then Trevor have been leading us through the initial verses of that chapter, and we've been looking at some of the people that we talk about as being the heroes of faith. And as we've been doing that, Richard and Trevor have both drawn out some principles from that. And before we start looking at the verses today, I just wanted to set a little bit of context by saying that actually we haven't got a clue who wrote the book of Hebrews. For a long time, they thought it was Paul, but now we understand it wasn't Paul that wrote it. But the thing we are clear about is that he wrote it to a group of Jewish Christians. That's why it's called a letter to the Hebrews. So that much we know. But if you've read several of the New Testament letters, you'll know that often they say, Paul in particular says, I'm writing to you so that. But Hebrews isn't a conventional letter in that sense. It goes straight into the subject. There's none of that sort of nice stuff at the front that says, oh, lovely lots, and this is why I'm writing. So we're left to guess. I'm not qualified enough to make very good guesses. I'll be honest about that. But I've looked up what several of the experts say, and they say this letter was written to a church, to a group of Christians that were starting to struggle. And they were finding life a bit difficult, and there were setbacks. So if you here think that you might ever have had a setback or that anything you're facing might be challenging, then this letter is just for you. Okay, so the particular verses we've got for today are only three at my count. And it's interesting that Abraham gets a bigger chunk of chapter 11 than anybody else. And there's a reason for that. Abraham was known as the father of those who believe. And several points in scripture, there are very dramatic statements about who Abraham was and his significance. So we shouldn't be surprised that he features so large in here. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Now, one of the things we need to bear in mind is that the Jewish people that were reading this letter, or were listening to it when it was read out to them, actually knew a lot about Abraham. In fact, they probably knew far more about Abraham than you know about Justin Bieber. But you see, Abraham was a key cultural figure for them. He was a spiritual father for them. So they would have understood all about his life. So the writer is actually drawing on that knowledge and assuming that as he writes. Now, some of us might not be quite so well educated in the life of Abraham. And some of us knew a lot and have forgotten some of it. So what we need to do is to just look back into Genesis chapter 12 so that we understand what this writer was referring to. And I'm going to read some verses beginning at verse 1, chapter 12 of Genesis. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, and Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh, and at that time the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. Now, often when we read these verses, we focus on the amazing promises that God made to Abraham. And actually, there's a very good reason why we do that. It's because we are the inheritors of those promises. So everything that was promised to Abraham is now ours. But that's not where we're going today. But it's actually very easy to gloss over verse 1. When we do that. And there are three things that are highlighted here that Abraham had to leave if he was going to come in to what God had promised for him. The first one, he was going to leave his country. Haran was the opposite end of the nation to Ur, where they'd started out from. And it was another city. The culture, the gods that they worshipped there, the moon gods, were the same. It was still a familiar place with the same language, culture, customs, diet, what they could buy at the butchers and so on. He was being asked to leave his kindred. There were in that area people who were part of his wider family, and he was being asked to come away from them. And he was being asked to leave his father's house. There was a place of security in this big city, Haran, that had become home. I guess there were possessions, bits of furniture and things like that, that wouldn't go too well in a tent, all of which he was being asked to walk away from. And it's a bit like me coming up to you and saying, "I think God's calling you and he's sending you out. Not sure where he's sending you. Actually, I want you to get into this camper van and drive off. And the journey, somewhere, at some time, God will speak to you about where you're to settle." Does that sound like a great deal? Does that really sound appealing? Not. So we need to understand that actually what Abraham was being asked to respond to was quite significant. It's a bit like the experience that Philippa and myself had moving to Rugeley in the late 1990s. God spoke to us about leaving our home in Stevenage and coming up. I'm going to refer to that this morning to try and unearth what happened to Abraham in something which is a little bit closer to home. However, I do want to emphasise that not all steps of faith require a geographic move. So in some ways, it's a bad example. And it's only happened to us so far once in our life. So I'm not saying that this is the norm or the way that God wants to lead us necessarily. But it's an example of how the process of hearing God and stepping out in faith works. Now, when you read verses like those ones I've just read from chapter 12, there's a whole buzz of names go past that don't always make a lot of sense because they're from a foreign language. And we can easily get lost in that detail. So I just put this little map on just so we could get a bit of an idea of what was happening here. And sometimes if you talk to one or two of the people that have lived in the town for a long time, they talk about somebody moving from Springfields to Brighton in hushed tones. This is a big deal. They've gone foreign. They've moved to Britain. And just by way of comparison, Abraham started off in the southernmost tip of Iraq, and on foot they went right up to the northernmost point of that, and then on into Syria, through Syria, down through what we now think of as Israel, and ended up in Egypt. That's hundreds of miles. So how many different language barriers they went through on there, how many different cultural barriers, and all those sorts of things, I just don't know. And bear in mind that at this point in time, cities were quite well-ordered places. But once you got outside of the boundary, then there wasn't really much rule of law, and it was sort of like a Middle Eastern version of the Wild West. So this was not without dangers travelling in those days, long before the time of the Roman Empire and the order that they brought. And just before we leave this map, I wonder if you could make a mental note of where Haran is, because we're going to be referring to that. Now, just one final bit of background before we look at those verses in chapter 11 more closely. And I've got to point out there's actually some possibility for confusion here, because in these few verses we've got a person called Haran and a place called Haran. But I'm sure we'll cope with that. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. So two important things we learn from these short verses. One is that Abram's father Terah had actually started out to go to Canaan, but he'd settled. Somewhere along the way, he'd given up. It's thought that the city of Haran was very like Ur, and they left Ur, they did this quite long journey, and when they came to Haran, there's a sense that they and settled down, and maybe they could, we don't actually know, I'm only conjecturing, but they actually reached a place and they settled. So we come back to look at these verses in Hebrews 11. And now we've got the background, and with understanding that little bit more about Abraham, we should now be able to look at these verses with the same eyes that the people that originally the letter was written to received it. I just want to draw attention this morning, I think, to just three simple ways that Abraham's faith was put into action. Now, highlighted in yellow there, the first way was that Abraham's faith stirred him to obedience. But the rest of that sentence is also very important, because what it tells us is that he had heard from God. You see, this wasn't a random act or wishful thinking. Abraham wasn't sitting there wishing he could live in Canaan, because he probably knew very little about it. But the reason that Abraham had the courage to obey was because he heard God speak to him. Now, some of you who have been around longer than others will have heard our story of how God spoke to us and led us to give up our life in Stevenage and our jobs and move to Rugeley. You see, our faith didn't come from a desire to come and live in Rugeley. We didn't know enough about it to either loathe it or love it. But faith came from hearing God. Over the space of 2 years, he spoke to us in 10 different ways, specifically about Rugeley. And the result of that was that faith rose in us, because when God speaks, it brings faith about. And people said, well, you know, how can you make a move like that? To which our answer was, well, how could you not make a move like that when God is speaking in that way? It becomes a sensible and rational reaction. So for Abraham and for us, obedience followed faith. And actually, that hearing of God before we move out in faith is so important. Because there were times after we came to Rugeley when life wasn't a bed of roses. But actually, the fact that God had spoken gave new courage and the ability to persist in that. And if you've read the rest of the life of Abraham, you'll know that he had one or two wrinkles along his journey as well. Times when things went very badly wrong. But actually, in the middle of that, he was able to come back and know that God had called him, that he had this clear word that gave him the courage to continue. The second way that Abraham exercised faith was that he went out not knowing where he was going. Abraham knew exactly what he was giving up. But he didn't know what he was getting into. He knew that he was giving up safety and the comfort of city life in Haran. He knew that he was giving up his proximity to the wider family. He was going to leave that behind. And he knew that he was giving up their family home and stuff that he was walking away from there. So Abraham knew the cost. He was ready to make the sacrifice. But actually, there was all that uncertainty as well. He didn't know what his new life was going to hold for him. And most steps of faith require us to leave something behind in order to move into the new. Now, yesterday we had some great steps of faith. And we've only been able to hear a few of the testimonies today. But actually, there were far more than that. And there were different types of steps of faith. Lots of people went and did craft. And that doesn't sound quite as adventurous, does it, as waiting on God and then walking up to total strangers and engaging them in conversation. But actually, those of us that were inside the building were taking faith steps, believing that the people God was bringing to talk to us, that there would be God appointments among them. People sacrificed a Saturday yesterday to serve. And you see, part of our commission as a church in possessing what God has promised to us is that we make ourselves known. See, the prophetic word over us is that we're to be atmosphere changers in the town of Rugeley. Now, it's great to sit here and pray about that and ask God to do it. That's very much part of his commission upon us. But we need to make ourselves known. We need to be out there being influential, talking to people in the community. Those that gave up yesterday to come along to do craft, to supervise people on the climbing wall, and all those other things that people seem to enjoy so much, were ways of us meeting with the community. So those were real steps of faith. And actually, we're going to need to take many more of those, because if we're going to possess the land that God has put us in, what he's called us to do, then that's part of our move forward. See, most times when we set out in faith, we do it without knowing the outcome. Very rarely, when I've prayed for somebody to be healed, have I known exactly what God's going to do. Occasionally, he does reveal it and say, I'm going to do this when you pray. But a lot of time, we step out in faith and we pray for one another in obedience to God, and then we wait to see what he does. And when we moved from Stevenage to Rugeley, we left behind a comfortable family home, other family members in the area. We left a church that we've been part of for nearly 30 years with all of our best friends in it. And we came And we left a thriving town where you could go down the town and buy anything. You never had to travel anywhere else to shop. It was a bigger centre than Burton, Stafford, or any of these places we got around about here. So there were lots of things that were good about doing that. And we came to Rugeley knowing very little about the place. We didn't even know whether anybody would be pleased we'd come. So we didn't know whether we were going to be made welcome. We didn't know the people here. They were complete strangers. You see, you can't move in faith unless you're willing to embrace uncertainty. So every conversation you initiate with somebody, every time you offer to pray for them, every time you go out on a treasure hunt, you are taking a step of faith and you're trusting God for the consequences. And that's one of the important things that Abraham knew about faith. He knew that it brought about obedience, but he knew that it also brought about uncertainty. And the last thing, the third way that Abraham exercised faith, was that he went to live in the land of promise. Now you see, God had promised Canaan to Abraham, but actually he turned up there. He was a foreigner. He didn't own a farm, a house, any land. Eventually he did buy a field as a burial ground. So he was just camping there and moving from place to place around. Imagine what that felt like. And we're a bit like that at the moment in the building down the road, aren't we, the centre? We don't actually have a lease on there. Did you know that they could kick us out at 24 hours notice? We're there as a statement of faith that we believe that God is giving us that place to use for him, to serve him. But we don't actually have any security there. So we're living in that as the promised land. But some people would say, well, you have no right to be there. But actually, we believe that it's worth investing time and effort in there because we think that in due course, the legal guys will allow us to sign that lease. And we're maybe only a few days away from that now. But we're living there by faith. And for Philippa and I, there was a similar point in our journey when we came to Rugeley, where we'd sold our house, but we hadn't been able to buy one up here. And we said, well, we've got no future in Stevenage. God has spoken to us about Rugeley. And we had prophetic words over our lives that were going to be fulfilled in coming up here. So we actually came up here and just rented somewhere so that we could be, as it were, in our promised land. And sometimes in the midst of the uncertainty, you have to go into that place which is God's promise for you, even though it seems a bit foreign and strange and you don't feel like you have the right to be there. If God has spoken, it's time to move. I said there was three, and this is the fourth one. I'm not cheating, really. Or is it the third one? I don't know. I've lost count. You see, Abraham was somebody who was fixed on the future. And that actually was what sustained him when things got tough. And can imagine that the first time the wind blew and the rains really came down, how exciting it would be to be living in a tent. And if you've ever taken a step of faith, you'll know that there are times when the wind blows and the rain comes down, and what you're into doesn't feel like the greatest idea. And whether it's starting up a food bank or going out on a treasure hunt and perhaps bumping into the wrong person first and not reading it quite right, there'll be times when it feels like a setback. Because of those times that it's so important to be looking forward. Because as we remind ourselves of the promise that we're looking for, then our faith is stirred up all over again. And it's that that enables you to move through the disappointments and the setbacks. Now, I've been really unkind this morning because I've spoken a lot by way of example about geographic moves. And as I said, we've only had one in our lifetime so far, though we're still open to others. But actually, most of the time, God is asking us to take small steps of faith. And for some people yesterday, it was the step of faith of just going and initiating a conversation with somebody. You see, one of the ladies that I'm being naughty here, you see, I'm sneaking in a testimony. One of the ladies I spoke to yesterday had moved into Rugeley, but hadn't yet linked up with the church. And you see, because I went and had that conversation with her, all of a sudden, she starts saying, I really need to get back into church. Where is it you meet on a Sunday? Would it be okay for me to come? And I had to think long and hard about that, of course. You know, she was worried about, could she bring her child and things like that? You see, now I looked at her two or three times before I summoned up the courage to go and start the conversation. But actually, you see, when we move out in faith, we make it possible for things to happen. So there are many ways that we can move in faith. Some of them are big steps and other ones are relatively tiny ones. One of the things we know is that without faith, it is impossible to please God. He's actually called us to live a life of faith. And you don't have to rob yourself of the excitement that that entails. So it's time for a summary. So the first thing we've seen today is that Abraham was obedient. But he had the confidence to be obedient because he'd heard God. And there's lots of different ways of hearing God, and I'm not going to go into those this morning. But actually, when we hear God, then that releases faith in us. So you need to put yourself in a place of hearing God to be reading his word so that he can speak to you. Secondly, faith always involves... Well, we talk about risk, don't we? We've often used faith is spelled R-I-S-K. But actually, I'm just using a different word for the same thing, in a sense. Faith involves uncertainty, that we don't know when we move in faith what the outcome's going to be. And some of us like to know the end from the beginning, don't we? So we like to make detailed plans. We like to know what's going to happen if. You see, so it's bad news for those of us that are like that, because that is not the way that God has chosen for us to walk in trust. He says, take these steps of faith, and then I'll show you the next bit. Third thing is, Abraham lived through that uncertainty and also the challenges and setbacks that came along his way, because he didn't look back and say, cure, they were lovely cucumbers in Haran or whatever. He looked forward to what God had promised him. And you see, if we want to be those that are encouraged in our heart, we've got to be those that leave promises and look forward to them rather than looking back. So yesterday, I could have stood in the gym, and instead of looking for people to reach out to, I could have been thinking, oh, it was a lovely day to cut the grass. I could have washed the car and all sorts of things, you see, to be looking forward, to know that I was there because of God's promise over us for Rugeley is what gives you the courage and the stimulation to keep those conversations going, particularly towards the end of the day when you're getting tired. And the fourth important thing is that Abraham did not settle. His dad had set out from Terah and made a significant journey from Ur up to Haran, and then settled. And he actually died in the place where he settled. He never got into Canaan. He never even saw the promised land. Abraham saw it, even if he didn't get to inherit it. And I think that one of the big challenges for a few of you here today is that you've settled. And there might be ways that God has spoken to you and he's called you, he's invited you, he said, come with me and together we're going to do some new things. And actually you started out well, you made great progress, but then you got distracted by the comforts of something else, or maybe you had a couple of setbacks. And actually you're sitting here this morning knowing that instead of being a pioneer, you're actually now a settler. You've settled down somewhere. And we can do it in all sorts of areas of life. It might be in our job. It might be in our marriage. It might be in our singleness that we've actually stopped living by faith and pressing on into the fullness of what God promised. And instead, we've settled. So the challenge to you this morning is to say, stir yourself up again. Renew faith by reminding yourself of the promises that were made over your life and begin to live in the truth of them moving forward. Let's pray. Father, there are so many strange things about Abraham that are so different from our own experience that it would be easy to write him off and say, well, because he was specially chosen by God, that's all right for him. But Father, we recognize this morning in reading your word that actually there were some very simple things about Abraham's experience that match up to our own lives. And so we just hold ourselves now in the presence of your Holy Spirit and say, please, would you speak to us so that we might be like Abraham, living lives of faith which are obedient to you. Father, if we've forgotten those words that you gave us instead of treasuring them in our hearts, then we'd like to say that we're sorry. Please would you speak to us again so that we might journey on with you. And Father, as a church family, we just thank you so much for the great prophetic promises you've given us about the impact that we're going to have on the town of Rugeley. We thank you for giving us access to this fantastic building right in the centre of the town. And Father, we just see your fingerprints all over the things that are happening to us at the moment. Father, please, would you help us not become those that settle? Father, would you help us to press through and to make that building the centre of what you want to do in Rugeley? To make it a centre where those that are lacking hope, that need to be restored, can come in and find the consolation that only the love of Jesus can bring. Father, please help us not to miss our amazing calling here in this place. But Father, let us be those who will individually pursue you and who as a family together will march forward into all that you've called us to be. Father, let your grace be upon us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Oswald Chambers wrote something that I could quibble about the theology of a little bit, but actually there's something amazing in the heart of this. Faith never knows where it is being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading. It is a life of faith, not of intellect and reason, but a life of knowing who makes us go. You see, the reason that we were willing to turn our life house upside down and risk upsetting the family by moving up here to Rugeley was that the God who'd spoken to us wasn't a distant taskmaster. That wasn't some new edict coming down from headquarters. But this was our loving Father, who we trusted, who had always worked for our good and the best. And one of the reasons why we can risk being obedient is that the Father who speaks to us just thinks we're the bee's knees. He loves us so much. His favour is upon us. And so we respond and we are like Abraham, out of a place of utmost security. So I encourage you to not be fearful of what God might be showing to you at the moment as the next step of faith. You can be confident because of how much he loves you. The outcome will be amazing, but the journey might be quite tough, but he'll be with you in it. Amen.